A great word for you, and let's see. I hope that's not from yesterday, but we'll see. Lord, we just come. Lord, I say right here, Lord, publicly, that I'm in love with you. Our scripture says that you first loved me. My ability, my capacity to love has come directly from you. And Lord, I need more. Not only to love you more, because I want to love you more, but to love other people's more. And so, Lord, will you transform me? Lord, will you take that, as Chase was talking about, Lord, take that hardness in our heart. And sometimes we get there, Lord, just little by little, and pretty soon we have a hard heart. Lord, will you tenderize it? Lord, that I would be sensitive to what your Holy Spirit is saying. Lord, we give you all thanks, and we give you all praise. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Romans, the fourth chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans, and the Apostle Paul, really, he's been talking about faith all along. He starts off the book really talking about that we as humankind, as Jerry said, we're in a bad place. I mean, in our day, the world is getting crazy, but here's what you got to know, it's always been crazy. Since man rebelled in the garden, we have had this rebellious streak. And so the Apostle Paul talks about that as a result of that, all have sinned. Really, everybody, if they were to be judged by God, would not, you know, fare very well. But that's what we call the bad news. Now, the good news is what the Apostle Paul talks about, the gospel. And he says, man, I'm so excited about the gospel. As a matter of fact, because the gospel lets us know how to get right with God. And who doesn't want to be right with God? I mean, even in my years of rebellion, if you were to say, hey, do you want to be in rebellion to God or right with God? I mean, hey, that's a no-brainer to me. Of course I want to be right with God. And so this holy book really tells us how. And so we've been looking at that it's really not about the effort you put into it. Not that this life doesn't have effort. Of course it does. We mentioned that it's not when I said I do to my wife, I didn't say, okay, you know, all the hard work is done. No, the hard work's just beginning, by the way, if you're thinking of getting married. But it's the same way in our relationship with the Lord. We say, I do, but then we begin this amazing relationship with Him. And so the Apostle Paul talks that this journey is really a faith journey. It starts by faith and it ends by faith. And so that's the way we are saved, not by our works, not because we were privileged or whatever it might be. And so in Romans 4, in verse 13 to 16, he talks about really a promise that was made to Abraham. Abraham being the father of the faith, really the father of the Jews. And in Genesis 12, there's these promises that were made. You know, someone like Abraham, we think, you know, he must have been born that way. He must have been born Abraham. No, he was Abram, and he was just a worldly guy, just like everybody around him. But God wanted a distinct people. And so God removed him from everything he knew. Same way with me. The Lord removed me from everything that I knew, because what I knew was not good. If you know what I'm talking about. What I knew, what I was a part of was not good. And so God had to remove me in order to teach me a different way. And that's probably your story too. When you came to know the Lord, there was a transition that happened probably in your life. And that's a good thing. And so in Genesis 12, he makes these promises to Abraham, right? And he says, really, all these promises are going to be yours by faith. By faith. It's by grace and also through faith. By grace in that you don't earn it. It's free. You don't have to earn anything. The Lord did it. He sent his son here to do all the work. We just by faith really believe in him. Completely believe in him. And so I'm going to look at Abraham's faith. I looked at it last week. I'm going to look at it again. Because I would say this. Not all faith is equal. Not all faith is equal. We sometimes think, well, believing in something, that's faith. That's not faith at all. We looked at listen to the last couple messages. Faith is much more than that. So we're going to look at Abraham's faith to get a good example. So here's the first thing about faith. And really, whose faith, who do we put faith in is an important question. We're going to look at who did Abraham put faith in. Because sometimes we think we have faith, but really the reality is we have faith in ourselves. We have faith in our abilities, faith in our ability to process, faith in whatever, you know. But faith must be in the Lord himself. And so here, when we get to Romans 4, the Apostle Paul was talking to the Romans, and he's talking about to the believers that were in Rome, and he talks about this promise, right, that was given to Abraham, right, and it says he received the promise. He was considered right with God because of his faith, and then he talks about the promise, right, and he says the promise is by faith. Otherwise, it's not open to everybody around the world. So this promise of salvation is open to everybody. I'm grateful. I'm glad that it is, right? I mean, it's open to people that you think, man, they're beyond God's help. No, no one's beyond God's help. I don't care how twisted someone is. They are not beyond God's help. You know how I know that? Because you're here. You're here, right? You're like, well, Pastor, you just offended me. I didn't mean to offend you, but I just wanted to be real with you, right? I know that anybody can get saved because I got saved and because you got saved, right? I figure if Mike got saved, anybody can get saved is kind of the way I look at it, to be honest with you. Yeah, he's leaving. Why are you leaving, Mike? Abraham's faith was in the life-giving God. Here we go, verse 17. As it is written, talking about Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. That was really the promise that was given to Abraham. Now you're like, well, what's the big deal of making him father of nations? You got to understand who Abraham was. You got to understand who his wife was. You got to understand how old Abraham was. You got to understand how old his wife was. And it says, in the presence of him who he believed. He's talking about who Abraham put his belief in. And it tells you right there, God, right? Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, God doesn't need anything to do something. He can do it out of nothing. That's the way he created this globe. He created by just the power of his word. See, what man does, man can maybe manipulate what God has made, in essence. That's what he does. He manipulates it, you know, puts a couple things, but God creates out of nothing. And that's important for you to know that character or that attribute of God. Because you may be so hopeless, you're like, I got nothing. Perfect. Neither did Abraham, right? And so he trusted in God, and God says, I don't need nothing, and so I can give you what I promised you. So his faith was in God, who was the giver, not just the promises, the gift. And that's really important to know. A lot of times we put our focus on the good stuff that we're going to get from God. No, the focus must always be on God, right? Yeah, if I put my focus on God, will God do good things in my life? Of course he will. But he doesn't want me to just be, you know, it's like, we've all known people like this, and maybe we had kids like this, and we taught them a different way after the first Christmas. It's like the kid who on Christmas, like, knows nobody in the room. All he cares about is just ripping the present, and he gets it, and then some, you know, okay, out of the way. Okay, what's next? And he opens the next one. Oh, shoot, what's next? And you're like, you're watching this like, oh my gosh, they're missing the point. And sometimes that's the way we approach God. And we just like, okay, God, give me all the good stuff. Give me all the good stuff. And God says, no, I want the relationship with you. So I want you to spend time getting to know the giver. And the giver will give, but I want you to understand him. And Abraham put his focus on God. It's who he believed. See, because he knew this. Abraham, right, was old. When God called him, he was 75 years old. And his wife was 10 years younger, right? So that would put her about 65 years old, but she was also barren. Not too many 65-year-old women having kids, right? And so God gives them this promise. He said, I want you to leave everything you know. I'm going to take you to a land. You got to trust me. I haven't shown you the whole thing. Sometimes we want God to show us the whole thing. Lord, show me what's going to happen in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, in 1 year, and then I'll decide. No, a lot of times he says, just do you trust me? And so he was trying to teach Abraham how to trust him. So Abraham, he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Out of your own seed, out of your own body. Oh, that's like, whoa, I'm an old man, and my wife is real old too, and she's barren. How's that going to happen? But He believes God, right? He believes, he knows only God can do the impossible. What's going to happen, what he's promising, is an impossibility, so I must put my focus on him, right? Here's what Hebrews 11:6 tells you and I. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, I love this for several reasons. It's good to read it even backwards. The deal is, some people's like, why am I not like, why isn't my life functioning? Jerry just talked about it. We don't diligently live this life. We don't diligently seek him. You know, we seek him when we got time, like every, 3 weeks. Well, Lord, I got 15 minutes I'm going to spend with you. And we wonder why we're not living that abundant life. Well, he tells us right here, right? God's going to reward those who diligently seek him. It's his nature. He wants to do that. But we please him by faith. You know, sometimes we don't think we can please God. Yes, you can please God. I mean, I think God can even brag on you and I. He will brag on those that have faith in him. Right? Faith that you're believing what he said, even though there's no evidence. No evidence. And I tell you what, all the evidence was stacked against Abraham and his wife. Right? And it says, he trusted in God who gives life to the dead. In other words, he takes that which is dead and brings it alive. He revives it. Now, we know he's talking about the body, but it could be your dreams. Right? It could be like you once had a dream and you quit dreaming because now you say, well, I'm too old. Well, we're once again, here's a perfect example. Abraham is older than dirt, and yet God has made him a promise. And he's going to believe God. He's going to believe. He's not going to deny that he's older than dirt. He's like, Lord, man, you got your work cut out. Because what you promised me is impossible. And so maybe you feel that the thing that God has promised you is impossible. But I tell you what, in this room are people that have seen God deliver on the impossible. Amen? You heard me say a few weeks ago, the very first meeting that I went to as a believer, very first meeting. I mean, I was like, a man of the world. First meeting, this person took me to this meeting. It was a girlfriend who led me to the Lord, took me to the first meeting. And the first meeting, they prophesied over me that I'm going to be a pastor. I'm like, these people are nuts, right? Nuts. I mean, I'm like, I think I'm saved, but I'm not even sure I'm saved. And you're prophesying that I'm going to be a pastor. And I knew that at that point I wanted to go into law enforcement. I'm like, what pastor? Well, that's crazy. I would say that's impossible. God is the God of the what? Impossible. Because I don't know if you know it, but guess what I do for a living? I'm a pastor. Okay. So it was in Yahweh that Abraham put his faith. See, because he knew Yahweh could create out of nothing. And what he needed was this. He understood, you know what? The organs that are responsible in me as well as my wife to have a kid are dead. We're old. We're dead. You might be here. Maybe you're in here and maybe you have diabetes, right? Or something. Or something in your body has died. You need to hear this message. Because that's what this message is about. That was what was in Abraham, what was in Sarah was dead. And yet God had made him this amazing, impossible promise. And you got to see how Abraham responded. This is what Jesus told the doubters around him. Matthew 19:26. So Jesus looked at them. He's talking about how difficult it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom. Someone that really is self-assured, someone who thinks, yeah, I don't know if I really need God. I'm doing pretty good. My stock portfolio's up. I mean, being a Christian is for weak people. Being a follower of Jesus are for, people that got problems, whatever it might be. And so Jesus tells them how difficult it is for a rich person to get into the kingdom, right? He says it's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And then they're like, well, who can then be saved? And this is Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. saying all that, and you got to remember that all things are possible. As soon as you tell someone that, they're automatically, but you got to get rid of but in your life, right? You got to get rid of that, because a lot of times what it does, it takes you from faith to unbelief that quickly. Just that word itself, whenever you say but, it'd be better to be like Mary and said, let it be so, right? Lord, let it be so. Whatever you said, I'm going to believe. And so we know that Abraham's faith was placed in the right one. He placed his faith in the life-giving God. He knew that God can give life to whatever is dead. So whatever is dead, maybe a relationship, right? Maybe something in your body, maybe a dream, whatever it might be. Whatever you think is an impossibility, you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, am I to believe you for in this area? And if so, then believe him no matter what. Amen? No matter what. Because we're going to see no matter what next. Here's the thing, second thing about Abraham. And I love this part about his faith. Man, it really just encourages me. Abraham's faith was unwavering even as he, what? Aged. So again, the promise is given to him when he's 65 years old. Well, no, he's 75 years old, excuse me. Sarah's 65. That's when the promise is given. I mean, can you imagine you're 75 years old and God says, you're going to have a kid? I'm like, what? Or you're 65 as a woman and you're barren and God says, you're going to have a kid. I'm like, what? How's that even possible? Look at verse 18. Talking about Abraham, who contrary to hope, he says, man, all the evidence was showing no way. Contrary to hope, in hope he believed, right? He kept believing so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. In other words, God kept his word. And here was his word. So shall the descendants be. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith. Okay? Now, if you know the whole story of Abraham, they still made some bad choices along the way. Because sometimes I think you think, well, I know God said this. And so all of a sudden you begin to look for ways to fulfill what God said without checking in with God. And that's kind of, they came up with like a better idea. And their better idea, you know what? Is still messing up our world. Because their better idea was this. Sarah says, well, you know, because I'm real old, but God said we're going to have a kid, and this kid's going to be, used to create lots of nations and bless the whole world. Why don't you, like, get together with my maidservant? And, you know, because she's younger, and she's fruitful, you know, and you have a kid, and they do that, right? Well, that kid is the father of the Arabs in our day. So it kind of messed things up. That wasn't God's plan. But sometimes we're impatient. We're like, I know he said it, I know it's God, but I come up with a better plan. And we always have, I always tell people this. I said, if God has spoken to you, right, make sure that it is him, number one. And number two, ask him about timing. Because as a pastor, I see that people often get the timing wrong. Often get the timing wrong. And Abraham and Sarah, yeah, they had faith, but you know, they kind of thought, okay, this is the way God's going to fulfill what he told us. Verse 19, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Once again, he knows, hey, this body's already dead, but I'm not going to let that stop me. Right? And being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Talking about when the child was born. So that would have made Sarah 90 years old. 90 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not only was she 90 years old, her womb was dead. Right, somebody said this. She was closer to the grave than the marriage bed. I mean, that's bad, right? And yet, God had made a promise. In verse 20, he did not waver at the promise through unbelief. But instead, he was strengthened in faith. Means he grew stronger and stronger and even giving glory to God. I know God's going to do it. He told me, I know God's going to do it. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, you're going to do it. I don't know when, but I know you're going to do it. Verse 21, and fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Okay. Yesterday, Jake made this thing about, you know, kind of the difference between God keeping his promise and maybe somebody else, like Jake. Jake says, you know, I can promise to give you $1 million. But I don't have $1 million to give you. You know, that's a problem. But really what Abraham's saying is, I know God could do it. He made the promise, but he also is big enough God to fulfill the promise. It's an important thing to know about God. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Because Abraham believed God, had faith in God, God put into his account righteousness, meaning that he's right with God. Not because he did anything other than have faith in God. Now, let's look at the word hope. Because it said, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. And hope means a confident certainty, an expectation, right? I call it an expectation that God is going to do something. So Abraham would wake up in the morning and he's like, I know God's going to do something. That you need to wake up that way. Every day, just waking up, Lord, I got hope in you. I don't know what the day's going to be like, but I know because I belong to you, something good is going to happen that way. That's the way I wake up. I know something good's about to happen. And so when I run into somebody out in the community, I automatically assume God has arranged that. I automatically assume, okay, Lord, what? And then I begin to pray. Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to deposit into this person? That's just the way I live because I have hope that God is going to use me. And so Abraham's was hope was not in only on God, but what God said. And so the promise that God had given him, he knew he was going to keep it. So it says, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Now this is important. I'm going to use an analogy that guys will probably understand. Okay, how many guys are here that are 50 or above? Okay, 50 above. Even if you were 40 and above, I mean, that still would probably apply to you. Say God appeared to you. You're 50 years old. We'll say you're 50 years old, right? And God says, you know what? You're going to be one of the top baseball players in the nation. You're going to be a pro. You're going to be one of the top baseball players in the nation. Well, you're like, I'm 50. I'm way past my prime. You're thinking that, right? I'm 50. I'm way past my prime. But once again, it says, contrary to hope, in hope, he believed God. Now, so you're 50. And if I heard God say, I'm going to be all of a sudden, you know, in the pros, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go join the gym. And I'm going to start working out, right? I'm going to get this body back in shape. Even though I know, you know, at 50, even if you're like a perfect specimen, the odds that you're even going to get into the NBA is, or not the NBA, the MLB, okay, it is like minuscule, right? So your 51st birthday comes, and you're like, whoa, Lord. And then your 52nd birthday comes. You're like, whoa. Then your 53rd birthday, you're like, whoa. You know how long Abraham and Sarah had to wait between when God gave them the promise and when it was fulfilled? 25 years. So you got to understand this, that what was an impossibility when God told them was really an impossibility 25 years later. So here God tells you at 50, you're going to be the top baseball player in the nation, and now you're 75, you're like, wow. I mean, if it was an impossibility at 50, for sure at 75, it's beyond an impossibility. But that's exactly what God did. See, I was wondering, well, God could have given him a kid right at 51. But God's like, okay, we're going to see how long he's willing to trust in me. That which was dead is really dead now. See, but a lot of times we're tempted to give up on God. Amen? We're not like, okay, Lord, it hasn't happened in 3 months. Come on. I'm like, and people give up so easily. You know, Bruce and Mary are here, and I'm going to use you guys as an example because we figured this out the other day. I remember there was something that was spoken over you when we were in L.A., and it took 18 years, because we counted it yesterday, it took 18 years for it to be fulfilled. 18 years. What was prophesied over me when I was saved, let me see. Okay. Took 26 years to be fulfilled. 26 years. I mean, some of you aren't even that old. You're like, oh my gosh. But you know what? God keeps his word, doesn't he, Bruce and Mary? God keeps his word, doesn't he, Carlos? Yes, he does. And yet, man, Abraham, he's stuck in there. Stuck in there. And my encouragement to you is don't let what people say, oh, it's been 5 years, you must have got it wrong. No, you know if you heard God. You know if you heard God. You hang on to that. And you know, don't listen to, you know, we live in a world where there's detractors everywhere. And I understand because nobody keeps their word anymore. I mean, when's the last time you went and bought a house and you signed a contract like this? Why? Because people don't keep their word. When's the last time you went and signed up for a new phone? Oh my gosh, they want your firstborn. Why? Because nobody keeps your word. And we have politicians on TV that spend millions, hundreds of millions of dollars trying to get elected by making promises they don't intend to keep. And so that makes people jaded. I totally understand that. And those people around you, believe God. Amen? Believe God. Even if it takes 25 years or 24 years or 18 years for God to fulfill his promise. Look at Numbers 11:23. Here Moses had taken the Israelites out because the Lord had raised them up as the deliverer. So deliverer, and he's out in the wilderness, and they're complaining that they don't have meat. They're like, when we were in Egypt, we had meat, right? And so the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to feed the people. I'm going to feed them. Well, it says he had over 600,000 men. So they're just counting the men. So if you count the women and the children, I mean, we're talking several million people. And so the Lord says, I'm going to feed them. So Moses says, oh my gosh, do we got to kill all the cattle? I mean, that, how do you feed several million people in the desert? Does that mean we kill all the cattle that we have? And this is what the Lord says to him. Once again, Moses is thinking, okay, how do I do it? How do I make it happen? If God gives you a promise, you don't make it happen. He makes it happen. Right? He'll make it happen. He can cash the check. And look what he says to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? You know, that I can't do what I promised you? Has the Lord's arm been shortened? The Lord doesn't have arms. He's a spirit. It's what they call an anthropomorphism, meaning using a physical, an analogy, but still it works. Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. And we know the rest of the story. The Lord sends just flocks of quail just flying this high so that you can just, boop, okay, here's dinner. Here's dinner. In fact, the Lord says, you know what? I'm gonna send them so much that after 30 days, you're like, oh, no more quail, please. Right? Just to teach them a lesson. But sometimes we do think God's hand is so short. I have a unique situation. He's never faced this before. It's not a unique. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. You're not unique. Right? You're not unique. So I put here, Abraham was fully convinced in God's ability and power. He did not know the how, maybe, but he knew the whom. That's important, right? That's where it trips me up, the how. I always want Pam will tell you, I'm always trying to, how's it gonna happen? She's like, Just stop. Right? He said it, he'll make it happen. That's all you gotta worry about. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's my life verse. Encourage you to make it your life verse. You can underline the words. Trust, right? Whatever it is. Trust. Who? In the Lord. Trust in the Lord. How? With all your heart. You're all in, man. And don't do the following what? Don't lean on your own understanding. Tears me up every time. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Let people know. God's faithful. Oh, but you know, God is faithful. But I had a friend. God is faithful. This has never happened before. God is faithful. Well, my experience, God is faithful. You know what I'm talking about? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Guess what? He'll direct your path. You're like, oh, my gosh, I never saw that before. In fact, it's lit. I know the way I should go. So Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. That's how he was right with God. Let me finish with this last one. Abraham's faith serves to cheer us on. See, that's why God put it in the book. That there's times when you and I are like, oh, man, I don't know. Got to get into the book. And you're like, wait a minute. Thank you, Abraham. I was losing hope until I read your story. Look at verse 23, Romans 4. Now it is written or recorded, right? For his sake, now it was not written or recorded for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. In other words, that's not the only reason it was written down, but also for us, talking about you. So you needed to hear this. So you need to know the rules of the game is really what he's saying. This is the way it works. It shall be imputed to us also who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. In other words, just like God fulfilled his word to Abraham, he's going to fulfill his word to you, no less. That's why he wrote it down. So when you start doubting, you need to read this account. Only 5 years have gone by. I'm going to hold on because Abraham waited 25 years. Verse 25, who was delivered or handed up, talking about Jesus, he was delivered or handed up because of our offenses, because of our sin, and he was raised for our justification, in other words, to make us right with God. Let me finish with this. Right? John 20, verse 30, 31. And truly Jesus said many other things. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So what we have here is Jesus did much more than what we have. But the things that are written there that you may what? Believe. That's why you got to read this every day. Every day you got to be in the Bible to believe. Otherwise you begin to drift into unbelief. And these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I read it every day, man. So people sometimes wonder, how do I have great faith? Scripture talks about faith comes by hearing the word of God. I'm in the word. I hear his word. I hear his voice. I get a rhema word. I hear what he says, and my faith is built up that way. But let me finish with this. Here's the application. What are you believing God for today? What is your thing that you're believing God for today? Are you growing in your faith? Or are you going the other way? You say, man, it's been a long time. I'll never be what God said I was going to be. Right? I'll never, whatever. Are you giving God glory while you expectantly wait? Or are you waiting with a bad attitude? I met believers that they're like, they're mad at God. Because they're like, man, God hasn't shown up. Tell you what, I've been there. And you know what happens when God shows up? I have to apologize to him. I'd like to say that only happened once. Or twice. It's happened way too many times. I'll tell you one time, the first time I ever had to really apologize to God, when I conned my brother into going to church camp. Church camps are good. Conned my brother to go to church camp. And while he was at church camp, I kept checking up on him to see if he got saved. Nope. Every day. And so I'm like, by the last day, I'm just ticked at God. I'm just mad at God. God, I got my brother to camp and you didn't do your thing. When they got back from camp and everybody is unloading the bus, as soon as my brother stepped out of the bus, I knew something was different. I knew something. And people came to me. They said, in the last meeting of camp, I got some hard knock, some brothers that are just hard-headed like me. The last meeting of camp, he went forward and he gave his life to Jesus. And I tell you what, today, my brother, he's up every morning at 4 o'clock meeting with Jesus before he goes out and runs his company. Trust in him. Amen.